joining us now in our studios, Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Martin. Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everyone?
Great. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well. Doing well. It's a spring and I like that. We got some April showers. I can deal with that.
Yeah.
Got caught in the rain yesterday, but look at me. I'm still here.
You're still here and you're not wet today.
I didn't
right?
melt.
You were probably wet yesterday, right?
I got pretty soaked at one time yesterday. And it only took about 3 seconds. Right when it was coming down, I had to run outside. But last night...
Green grass is coming.
Yeah, it is. Right. Yeah, we'll be mowing by... I'm sure a lot of people will be mowing this weekend.
Yeah. Wow.
Let's talk about
the council.
Amazing. Councilman, first of all, we're talking about that. Thank you. We do have an Arbor Day this year. The council in their consent agenda approved what next Monday or next Wednesday is Arbor Day.
Yeah.
What's the 26th? No, that's not next. That's sometime next week. It's Arbor Day. So we got that. Mm-hmm. Let's move into the meeting, though. You had a presentation last night at the quarterly report from Mark Elliott, the chief of police here in Northfield. Can you give us some highlights from that?
Yeah, I would just say overarching, this is a new thing that we've been doing where Chief Elliott and his team are gathering the data and giving the council really a high-level view on how are we doing? Are we seeing more calls, less calls? What are the areas that you're seeing more activity? Because in the end, it actually does really affect how we fund our police department and ensuring that they are adequately funded to be able to serve the community that we all know and love. And so one of the things that he presented last night was that we have a new message or speed trailer, which if anybody has went by those, right, they're helpful to know and understand. Check whether or not you're going too fast, whether or not you need to slow down, right? Those are just that visual reminder. Slow down, folks. So.
All right, we got to do a new speed trailer. Mm-hmm. I like the sound of that. Mm-hmm. Anything else from that? Any other takeaways?
Yeah, the chief has been helpful in giving some perspectives related to his replacement process. We have the materials that are online now for our recruitment materials for a new police chief that's out there. So a little description of Northfield and the job position and what it entails. The application deadline's on the mid-May. Then we're going to be having, obviously, our typical interviews. We are going to have different panels involving, by invitation, community members. And then we're going to have certainly a engagement of the community at a certain point, too. So we're looking at the end of June, tentatively June 25th, open to the public meet and greet of finalist candidates, and then selection in mid-August to start at the end of September. So the chief's been involved in a number of these, has talked to people, and has been helpful to have a professional good experience to try and recruit a good new leader for our police department. And we think Northfield is a great community for someone to come into. We have a very professional department. The community is very supportive of our officers, and we're really excited to hopefully recruit somebody in. Certainly, it's a tough environment to hire anybody, I guess, out there, but certainly law enforcement's a challenge, but we're hopeful and optimistic that we'll get somebody good in here as a new chief, and appreciate the work that Mr. Elliott's given us on kind of putting us in a good position on this process.
Now, following up, pardon me on that just a bit, you'd mentioned it has been difficult for police departments to hire officers. We don't have as many applicants, so the applicants aren't as qualified as they were just a few years back, 5-10 years ago. That's more of the officer thing. Going to a police chief, for the reasons you've mentioned, I would imagine Northfield would be a pretty good job for the right person in law enforcement. Do you anticipate, is it going to be, what are you anticipating as far as the process and getting a good selection of candidates?
So specifically, how do we get good candidates? So I think that, you're certainly going to have more seasoned officers. So we've been struggled to see that their enrollments are down in our colleges that provide the training. In Minnesota, you have to have at least a 2-year degree under the post board requirements. And I think that's important. And there's skills training that happens with that. But the more advanced officers are going to be captains, deputy chiefs, maybe chief of police somewhere else. Minnesota is unique, but the region is a possibility, or even nationally we could get candidates. You know, but I think one of the things too with Chief Elliott is one of the benefits too with the chief position is if you can the public employment retirement system that we have in the state, your retirement is based on your high 5 years of pay and salary as part of that. So that can really be helpful for people later in their career to bump that up. So that's attractive for people that, although taking on management and added duties as the number one person where the buck stops with you, there are some benefits financially later in their career too. And I think mm-hmm. it's truly an honor to be a police chief too, to help lead an organization. So those are some extra things that I think help. And as we said, you know, Northfield's really a quality community, I think, that would fit people's interest. We're not, you know, we're not going to draw the people that are looking for a lot of hot action and, you know, a lot of crime activity happening. That's not the place. There are people that's mm-hmm. how they're wired to deal with that. But I think we'll be a great fit for someone.
And the community policing model where you're out there, you're building relationships, working with partners, nonprofits throughout the community so that... Yeah, our community remains safe. It's doing the proactive sort of policing that sometimes cities, it could be that some cities aren't supportive of that. We really want our officers building relationships, being seen, talking with people long before there's a need for their professional services. So,
Mayor Pownell and City Administrator Martinger are with us. Last couple of meetings that you've had, there have been people speaking in support of a ceasefire in Gaza. And that last mm-hmm. night, after a couple of appearances before they came out last night, you did have that on the agenda. And it ended up not going through. Kind of an interesting, by an interesting way, untypical way, but talk to us about this. You know, what, you know, just give us your thoughts.
Yeah, and you're right. This is the third official city council meeting that we've had people in attendance. The room is packed, usually standing room only. A lot of people there, very passionate about this because they know people that live over in Gaza that have been harmed by this, and some just taking the policy position, right, that we should not be encouraging wars in other countries. And this as a potential advocacy, organized advocacy effort to get local government units across the U.S. to pass resolutions in support of a ceasefire, and then to send those resolutions on to our federal representatives. And we had a couple council members that requested that this go on the agenda. Our rules of business allow for that to happen. So Councillor Sokup and Councillor Zuccolato put together a resolution kind of modified from ones that we had had previously presented to the council, added that to the agenda. And that then gave the opportunity for the council as a whole to not only listen to those that were there in attendance, but then to also give their own perspective, pro or con, on whether or not we should be passing a resolution of support. I think a lot of people feel very passionate about this, even on the city council, and are could be. There's no one has said this outright, but there we have connections. Everyone does, all over the world, and this it's not necessarily. I would say that the council, if you want to hear what the council had to say, you should go to that particular part of our agenda and listen in. So council members just, they did such a fantastic job putting together their own policy position on whether or not this is right for us as a local government entity to be taking policy positions on foreign policy. Ultimately, there were, I think the vote was 4-2, 4 against and 2 in favor of it. And where we go from here in terms of, do we want to continue to do this? I think that there was pretty strong encouragement that we not pursue policy positions on things like this. I would say even in the future, future councils might feel differently, but we really want to respect and honor all viewpoints, and I think we did that last night. Yeah, it's all right. Difficult conversation, and the response from the public as they heard our vote was also equally very strong.
And that, once again, is available on the city's website. You can check that out. Go to the meetings, and you can watch a video of that. It's not there yet, but it will be later on this morning. Let's move on. The EDA, we have talked about quite a bit about the development downtown on 5th and Water and 5th and Washington. The council took some action last night. We've talked about this as well, having the EDA kind of lead the charge on that. Tell us about what action you took last night.
No action. No action last night. We brought a resolution forward that was drafted, kind of brought out midday yesterday, as we were kind of following up from last week's work session. The intent of the resolution is twofold, I would say. One is, when you kind of create a resolution, as it's referred to the EDA, the kind of the starting point of the resolution can allow you to ground kind of the history of the projects and some key milestones, or maybe even planning documents, as it's then shifted into an action or direction that the council makes on the back end of the resolution, basically saying, here's what we're asking you to do. So we're working on memorializing some of that background work. The council had some good feedback that they wanted suggested some additional documents be included in some of the whereas clauses, such as, you know, we have a comprehensive economic development plan that wasn't referenced. So those are good planning documents we do rely on, and that's a perfect time to incorporate those types of things to draw attention to people when they're doing the work, the importance of those. The second part of that's basically giving a framework where the council's suggesting, you know, these downtown at 5th and Washington, looking at improvements on that site to do development, and on Water Street to do a redevelopment once the liquor store leaves that location, with our existing buildings. We're continuing to do work on that, and the council's got a really heavy workload, and the Economic Development Authority ultimately is our entity to help, you know, spur economic vitality and activity in the downtown. So that the council's looking at delegating that role to them. Didn't happen. It's postponed to the next meeting. And the EDA meets next week. We talked about that, too, from a staff level. They've got a pretty full agenda, so it wouldn't go to them in May. But we're basically expecting that this be a primary item that they would be working on thereafter. And so the council felt like they wanted to get that resolution right, maybe even look at some potential timelines, asking them to work on to keep it a priority. But that's a little technical background on kind of the resolution status, I guess, mm-hmm. with the projects.
All right. Yeah. Anything to add?
No, it's just a really great. We have a lot of really amazing people serving on our boards and commissions. And anytime there's a topic area that aligns with one of their primary responsibilities, it's good to engage them and get them involved and serving in the capacity of which we appointed them to be there for.
You had also a resolution last night that was concerning the big white house on the corner of Division and Woodley, and the future of that. Can you give us kind of a backstory if you're not too familiar with that, and what action was taken last night?
And just to make sure that we've got the right location, it's 1000 Division Street. So I'm not sure big white house.
Is that the
sure?
big white house?
It's white. I don't. It's kind of a mixed use kind of looking property.
So it's on the southwest corner.
Southwest. Okay, yeah. That's not the big white house.
Yeah,
then.
So let's just not alarm people.
Yeah, okay. And we were talking about that, and so it is on this side of the road, our side of Division Street. Okay, and that used to be like it's been a lot of different things.
Just, it has been. Yeah.
Just south of Northfield Auto. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And so the staff had, it's owned by Rebound and zoned to increase density to potentially like an 8-unit housing complex. I think that's what is being proposed to be. It's ripe for redevelopment. And so there was the forgivable no interest loan opportunity through Minnesota Housing. It's deferred. It's, forgivable, no interest. So they are asking for up to $800,000 for the project. It can be it's limited to 50% of the project's total. And so ultimately is an opportunity for us to utilize the additional funding that has been made available through the state legislature to fund workforce housing in the rural part of Minnesota, and Northfield qualifies for that. And so I was just really appreciative of our city staff and others that worked to identify this opportunity. It's ready to go, and it's a great way for us to utilize state-level resources, right, to help make a really important project come to fruition.
A workforce housing is kind of a vague thing. Are there specific plans for this yet? Are they to that point where we have a design, or is it going to be a one-family home or a couple of them, an apartment building, townhouses?
I think details are in the works. The 8 units are currently planned to be market rate, and they don't have specifics, I don't think, on that. That would include a combination of different bedrooms. In some of the background materials that they included, too, there are abilities, options to include rent controls on that or affordability components that might also have some implications with the application. But they're in the community action centers involved in helping to write the application. Our role is basically the council. They need to have a government unit supporting the application. So the city wouldn't be directly involved in the development, but we'd have development reviews. But I think that's the details of what the affordability and workforce amounts are, I think, are too early to know that specifically. Mm-hmm. We certainly know we need all kinds of housing, so we want to proceed with that as a community to support that. But certainly affordability is always at the forefront, too.
Is there anything else from last night's meeting or anything coming up you'd like to mention?
I don't.
The next week, I would say, we have our public hearing at 6 p.m. on Tuesday to consider the sale of the former Northfield News building that we've been holding. We've been talking about that. You guys have, and KYMN have appreciated you covering that issue, as well as we've done some press releases. Looking at Loon Liquors as our partner, we're really excited. And details will be getting released later this week with the packet materials related to some of the terms and conditions of that sale that we'll be talking about next week. And there's some potentially action to consider action on the purchase agreement terms next week as part of that.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us. Much appreciated, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Martin.